May God's grace be with you today from our Father who is in heaven, who created us, from Jesus Christ, the Son who has redeemed us, and from the Holy Spirit who sanctifies us. Amen. Well, we're looking at the churches of Revelation, the seven churches. Jesus' message to Ephesus and to Smyrna and to Pergamum and to Thyatira and to Sardis and to Philadelphia and to Laodicea. And last week, we looked at Jesus' message to the church at Ephesus. Today I'd like to look with you at Jesus' message to the church, to the congregation at Smyrna. We remember this is a revelation that God gave to Jesus. Jesus gave to John. John gave to the churches, and the churches have preserved for us. So the Holy Spirit has put this in the scriptures. Therefore, he wants it to be a message to you and to our congregation as well. So let's take a look today at Smyrna and see what Jesus' word was to them and what his word might be to us, is to us. I'll just read it first. It's just a couple of verses. And to the angel of the church in Smyrna, write, the words of the first and the last who died and came to life. I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich. And the slander of those who say that they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested. And for 10 days you'll have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who conquers shall not be hurt by the second death. So there's the letter. Very brief. To the point, what does Jesus say to them and to us? Let's go through it line by line today, apply it somewhat as we go through, and then a little more at the end. First of all, this first word here, his introduction, Jesus said, it says to the angel, that's to the pastor probably, of the church in Smyrna, right. Here's the message, the intro, the words of the first and the last who died and came to life. Why is that important? Jesus would start out with this title for himself. The words of the first and the last who died and came to life. You want to know why? Because this message is perhaps one of the hardest in here because this is written to a church that is undergoing immense, tense persecution. And he's about to share with them that it's going to get worse. And perhaps, no, in fact, several of them are going to die. And so he is beginning his message here with a very comforting title. Remember, the one who's speaking to you these words of strength and comfort and blessing, I'm the first and the last. Everything begins and stops with me. I'm in control of all things. I'm the manager of time. I am the omnipotent ruler of creation. Nothing happens but by my word. And guess what? I died and I came to life. So in my hands, O people of Smyrna, are life and death. I have power over both of these things. So the word that I'm about to share to you in your dire situation is a word from the author of life who can deliver you. Isn't that great? That's wonderful. And that's a word to us too. That the God who speaks to us every week and is preaching to you right now through me is the first and the last, the omnipotent ruler of the universe who has all power to carry out his desires and his salvation. And he says, I hold life and death in my hands to deliver you. So be strong and faithful to me, no matter what. Okay, so there's the introduction. You might ask, well, what kind of sufferings were they going under at Smyrna? Not New Smyrna Beach, Smyrna. Okay, this is a coastal town, a seaport about 35 miles north of Ephesus. He says, I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich. And the slander of those who say that they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Let me just give you a few background on those words. He says, I know, in other words, I'm fully acquainted with, I know your present situation, and it's this. Tribulation. The word is in the Greek, flipsis, which means trouble, anguish, persecution, being pressed hard. they're surrounded. Back in World War II, there was a battle at Bastogne where the 101st Airborne Division was a small band of Americans trapped in a town surrounded by an overwhelming force of German tanks, and to which the Germans said, "You must surrender or we'll annihilate you." To which the American commander wrote back one word answer. He said, "Nuts." Basically, in your face, we're not going anywhere. Well, these people in Smyrna are pressed in. They're hemmed in. Jesus says, "I know your tribulation. I know your present sufferings and your situation. I'm well aware of it as commander of the armies of Israel. Don't worry. I know this." He also says, "I know your tribulation and your poverty." That's an interesting word that gives us some insight into these people, because the word there for poverty is a it means poverty. Okay. All right. And it doesn't just mean poverty, it means abject poverty, where you have nothing. You are totally 100% destitute people. He says, "I know that about you, but that you are rich in my eyes." And then he says, "I know the slander of those who say that they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan." Slander, that word is blasphemia. I know that one, which means blasphemy, slander. It means speech when people are talking in a way that they are trying to injure you. He says, "I know that they are coming against you, the Jewish synagogue in Smyrna, and they are trying to destroy you through their words and turning you into the authorities and things like that. But they are a synagogue of Satan, and I know all these things about you." Isn't that a wonderful word for us and our distresses? Whatever our persecution may be, "I know your situation," says the commander of the armies of Israel, "and I am here to deliver you." Now, what was happening in Smyrna? I said it was a coastal town, right, north of Ephesus. This place was prosperous. This place had moolah. It had money. It was a seaport town. The word Smyrna comes from the word myrrh, or at least it's closely related to it. Lots of money there. It's still a present seaport today called Izmir, still prosperous. They had lots of money, so why was this church so destitute? As most of the commentators say, there was a center for the Roman imperial cult here, which said you must say Caesar is Lord. Now, the Christians wanted to only say Jesus is Lord, but they're saying Caesar is Lord. You must say this, otherwise we're going to keep you out of the guilds. We're going to keep you out of businesses. You're going to be destitute unless you give in and surrender. Likewise, or in addition to that, we have the Jewish synagogue here, Jesus says, are slandering them. They are speaking in a way to injure them, perhaps turning them in to the authorities, because we're going to learn a verse later that they're going to be thrown into prison, a lot of them. That's the government's power, right? And so they're going to turn them into the government to be thrown into prison, and if they don't, do it the Roman way, they're going to be executed. So this is their situation. They are surrounded, very difficult. But there, we have a good word for them again here. He says, "I know your suffering, your tribulation, your poverty, the slander of those who are against you. Yet," he says, "you're rich in my eyes." Isn't that the truth? When you face persecution and hardship and even poverty, a lot of times, as it says in James chapter 2, James says, "Has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which God has promised to those who love him?" And so these people, because they had nothing, had their eyes set on heavenly things, on their treasures in heaven, which is just what God wants for us. And he also has this word, basically, "I'll deliver you." In verse 10, which is the next verse, Jesus says, "Do not fear." In other words, literally, stop being afraid. Take courage. Don't be afraid of what you're about to suffer. "Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, so you may be tested. And for 10 days you'll have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life." So Jesus' word to these people is that you think you're suffering now. You are. I know that about you. But the battle is about to get worse. How would you like that as a message? If I stood up here on Sunday and I said, you know, you think you're suffering now. Just wait till next week. It's coming. Right? Well, that's Jesus is doing for the encouragement of his people because he knows the future. He says, this is about to happen to you. The devil's about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and for 10 days you'll have tribulation. Now, 10 days could be a literal 10 days. It very well probably is. But it also, in the Bible, means generally a short time. Our suffering in this earth is for a short time, and Jesus points us to that. You must undergo, as I did, a crown of thorns first for a short time, and then you're going to get a crown of glory that's going to be eternal. Can you hear that word today in your suffering? Whatever persecution you may be enduring, that your crown of thorns is but for a time, a little space, 10 days. And it's going to be harsh. But in the end, being faithful, if you're faithful to me, I will give you the crown of life, says the omnipotent ruler of the universe, the first and the last who died, came to life. He says that to you. And what is this crown that he promises them? 2 Timothy 2, Paul says, an athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. 1 Corinthians 9, he says, don't you know that in a race all the runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to obtain a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. I didn't have a lot of trophies from the time I was a boy. I remember Eric Hargrove in tennis. He was like the best athlete when I was growing up in my school. His room I went into one time was just trophies everywhere. But they were all perishable, and he'd forgotten about them even back then when he had them all. He had so many. Poor guy. But what God is telling us to look for is an imperishable wreath. That's what we're all running to obtain. So he says to Smyrna, I know your tribulation, your poverty, you're rich. I know the slander, you're about to be thrown into prison. Be faithful in these things, and I will give you the crown of life, says the God who can do it. So that's a great word for us. Don't be afraid of death, for he who conquers shall not be hurt by the second death, he says. What is that? What's the second death? The lake of fire, the judgment, the final everlasting death. And all these people who are persecuting the Smyrnan church are destined, unless they repent, to an eternal lake of fire called hell. But for those who conquer, who are faithful to Jesus, he says, you have nothing to fear from the second death. It shall not hurt you or harm you in any way, for I will place upon your head the crown of life. As it says in Hebrews chapter 2, by Jesus' death, he destroyed death and delivered all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong bondage. Are you afraid of death today? Maybe it doesn't seem close enough to you. How about if I told you you have only a few hours to live? Would these words maybe make a little more sense to you? Be a little sharper? Well, Jesus says, you have no need to fear death, you being faithful to me. So there's the wonderful word that he has to the church in Smyrna. I just want to take just a second here and say, what does it mean to us, though? How might we apply this to our lives in this church with me as the pastor delivering this message of Jesus? Well, first of all, as we said, Jesus knows your sufferings. He knows what you're going through, no matter what those sufferings are. He says, I'm well acquainted with all your ways, and I'm going to be with you in the midst of these things. As he says in Isaiah 63, in all their affliction, he was afflicted, and the angel of the Lord, an angel of his presence, saved them. In his love and pity, he redeemed them and carried them all the days of old. So he knows your suffering. Good? Amen? Great. Another thing is that I think this letter, as much as it applies to us, doesn't apply to us in a way. Because I don't think we really suffer like this church Smyrna did. I think we're a little more maybe like the church in Laodicea, where, you know, the church in Smyrna was poor, but Jesus says, you're rich. The church in Smyrna, in Laodicea, says, you're rich, but you're really poor. Not to say that you're poor, but they had a very easy life, comparatively speaking. When I think of this letter personally, you can disagree. I mean, we certainly suffer persecution in our country, but not like our brothers and sisters around the world. Try going to Afghanistan and practicing your faith. Try going to Saudi Arabia and trying to be open about your faith. You will be beaten. You'll be thrown into prison for 10 days that you may be tested. You'll be executed. Try doing that in China, getting out and evangelizing everybody. You'll be thrown into prison. 2,000 Christians were martyred in the church before 70 AD, principally by the Jews in those days. And then 70 million have lost their lives, it said, since then. 45 or so million of those being just in the 1900s, the 20th century. And we think we have it tough. In a lot of ways, we go through great sufferings. I'm not invalidating that about you. But we're not living in the same kind of culture that Smyrna was. And a lot of our brothers and sisters this very day are around the world. So I think what God is saying to us through this message is, let's remember to keep these our brothers and sisters in prayer, because we uphold them. We're all one in Jesus. Another thing I think he's saying to us is, you know, that synagogue that was coming against you, Smyrna, they were not just a synagogue of Jews. That was Satan. And it's not just the government, but Satan that's going to throw you into prison. We got to remember that we also are facing that same enemy that's attacking our brothers in these other countries like Afghanistan and, you know, Smyrna type places. We're facing and contending in that same faith. You know, we may have it cushier. I can preach here and prosper. But you know what? There was a guy I heard on Adrian Rogers on the radio. Adrian Rogers said a missionary came to him once from Romania or something like that. And they suffer greatly for their faith there. And the missionary said, you know, in my country, we have the devil in the form of a lion who comes to tear and destroy us. But in America, you have the devil too in another face from Corinthians where it says he appears as an angel of light. See, we're wrestling with a lion that is attacking us. Tribulation and poverty and slander and prison and death. Over here in America, you're wrestling with the devil as an angel of light who is in the spirit of compromise, who allows you to have a certain amount, degree of prosperity. Of course, that's all from God, our prosperity. But he's trying to woo us to sleep. And the missionary said, of these two forms of Satan, he says it's far easier to keep your faith alive over here against the lion than it is over here against the spirit of compromise and sleepiness and weariness and that mist that'll make you forget the faith. So what I want you to say today is to remember that your situation also is precarious. You know, the same devil who's attacking as a lion over here is attacking and trying to woo us to sleep over here. But the same Lord, who is the first and the last and the living one who died and came to life, also says to you, I am your deliverer. I come to you as the commander of the armies of Israel. And I say to you, as I said to Smyrna, as I say to your brothers and sisters in the Eastern Bloc and the other places, so I say to you, be faithful unto me, unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. So let's be alert. Let's imitate the faith and alertness and the richness of the church at Smyrna, who, by the way, did not have any rebuke from the Lord. Very rare among the seven churches. No rebuke. He said, you guys are doing great. And so also, if we will keep and hold fast, that we may also have such a commendation from our Lord and be alert unto that day. And we'll conclude with this great word from our commander in chief, from Isaiah. Chapter 46, he says, hearken to me, O house of Jacob, all the remnant of the house of Israel, who've been born by me from your youth and carried from you from the womb. Even to your old age I am he, and to gray hairs I will carry you. I have made and I will bear, I will carry and I will save. And that was his word to them, and that is his word and promise also to you from our faithful God. Rejoice in him, in Jesus' name, amen.